Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive.
Hi, Jessica.
June. How are you, friend?
So much to talk about today.
Please.
I feel very exposed in my home right now because usually, I try to schedule these when I know I've got a certain amount of privacy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And yeah.
Solitude so I can talk to my friend. But yeah. Today,
the
chips fell where they did. And we've got kids at home. We've got COVID at home. We've got all manner of thing happening. And so there's just no escape. And I just feel very,
see, someone just walked by.
Like the hunted.
Jess is screaming at me to move the car.
You're the hunted.
I am. And another child is about to arrive. Like, it's just, I feel scared. And I feel like they're everywhere. I can't escape them.
COVID is really delivering some uncertainty on many levels, but one of which is you never know when your child is going to be home.
Yes.
And in your face. We got a call at 7:30 in the morning from LAUSD, and I was like, this is it. It's the call. She's staying home. And there's just like, this is Principal Herman. If you get a call, you are to stay home. And I was like, oh my God. Like, this is, I live in fear.
So it's
every
a call
morning.
To say you might get another call? How dare they? That's what I call an email.
Thank you. Like, okay. I know
we've already been over, when a phone call is necessary. But, I have to tell you, I want to alert everyone. This is a PSA. One of the things I try to do around the new year, and Jess, I'm sure you'll appreciate this, is dot my I's and cross my T's when it comes to doctors and getting things checked out, appointments. So I had an appointment because I followed this wonderful woman on TikTok who had melanoma, 20 something years old. And
yeah,
she did a whole, I don't know if I've talked about this before, but she did a whole PSA around when to go get something checked out. And so I've had this thing and I, got it checked out and, I have no room in my voicemail and I don't know if they're calling to tell me what the biopsy said, I don't know how I'll find that out. It feels so impossible.
Hold, please, because I am waiting on that MRI news and I know I haven't checked my voicemail since, November.
These are reasons to clear out your voicemail.
While we're talking about this, I'm just going to give a quick edit, select all. Do you know what I mean? And just free up some space just in case.
Now, are you listening to this? Because I won't go back and listen.
God, no. I don't know what these things are. Like I said, they had other avenues to get to me. I did just get something in the mail from the Metropolitan Police of the United Kingdom who are after me about some fucking, picture they took of me, driving somewhere in some wrong lane. And I thought I paid it, but what? Come get me.
They have your U.S. address?
Apparently.
Come get me.
Come get me.
Find
me. Deal with Prince Andrew first and then come
Let's
get
strip
me.
Him of all
strip
of his
him
security
of his
clearances.
Royal duties
Thank
and then
you.
Come
and then
come
you can worry about me.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks.
That's going to be my own personal rebellion, my own personal tea party, if you will.
Jess, I'm so sorry I was late. I don't know how to explain this, but it's happened to me a number of times where I am in we have a home gym and I was downstairs in it and the clock is about 10 minutes off.
Yeah.
And I've had to learn this lesson
You have to reset it. Is that it? You got to reset it. And who's going to do that? Not me.
I'll tell you what. 8 happening. That. Now, yeah. So many times I've been on my Peloton thinking I had all the time in the world. And boy, June, have you scheduled this day to a T. I was proud of myself.
Yeah.
And then as I finished the Peloton, I was about to get in the shower down there. And I see a text, and it's 2:02, that says they're waiting for you. And I thought, well, no, I have 10 minutes. And then I see it's 2:02. And so I hope I had to get in the shower. I was already undressed.
June, you know that every minute you are late is a gift to me that I unwrap slowly and save.
I don't know if Cody and Jordan feel that way, but.
I do. I felt great.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. And I will say, I do think there's some time that I should be building in of like, you're going to have your tech issues in the beginning for a few minutes. Sure. And I say that with no disrespect.
No, but that's true. But yeah, that's, you know what? I don't care. Okay. So I had a reminder that I thought I put in the family cal, but I really put in my calendar with Lennon. It was coming up every day, which I also didn't mean to do. And Lennon changed it to check rating on WikiFeet because she knows how proud I am of it. And then I was like, went to delete it. And I thought, did I make that joke to myself? Did I write check rating on it? That's weird. I don't remember making that joke, but that's the kind of joke I would make. So then I deleted it. And then Lennon today was like, did I offend you with changing that?
That is so funny. And wait a second. I need to like actually stop the clock. You and Lennon have a shared calendar?
Yes.
See, that's my dream.
That was the only shared calendar I had was with Lennon. And now I have it with Dan. And I mean, we've never looked back. Like Dan is like, check the cal, check the cal.
Always check the cal. But to have one with a girlfriend, like I'd love to have access to everyone's cals.
Yeah. Our old assistant, Amy, still is on our calendar. And she wants to be. She wants to know where we are and when we're together. And she just wants to know, you know, that we're writing. What are we working on?
And so what goes in that shared cal, because I'm assuming Dan's not on it. So that shared cal with Lennon is just like when you guys are working together.
That's right. But I've invited Dan to that. And he says, I don't want to be a part of that shared cal. Please don't include me. But that's too bad because then I would have to I'd have to write in my thing. So then Dan doesn't know that that's on the cal, you know. But anyway, let him come on his own pace.
At his own time. Now, what I wanted to tell you, I don't know if you're watching the second season of Cheer.
I've never even watched the first season.
Okay, well, Dan's twin is featured as a coach, an assistant coach, ooh, fascinating character, ooh, on the second season of Cheer.
Okay.
His twin. It is the wildest. So now please do check it out.
I will. Now, you know, it's always dangerous to say you look like somebody, and people did. 7 people told me I looked like Hugh Grant that one summer when I felt like I was my most sexual.
Well, you know, I am very attracted to Dan. So I do believe,
I know you are.
And this is, I know he's going to hear this and I'm okay with that. But this is, I think he's a great looking guy, but it's my specific, you know, it's a look that I can tip my hat to.
How you see Dan. Exactly. Yes. Okay. Got it. But June, I had this feeling like you needed to talk today even more than me. I mean, I got my MRI over with. I was high as a kite. I texted you high.
You sounded great.
I texted you high. I said, did I tell you I'd asked to touch a nurse's extensions?
You did. I hope it was a white woman.
It was a white woman. I wanted to follow up with that.
Fantastic.
It was a white woman. I said, God. I love what you're doing with your hair. And she said, oh, thank you. They're extensions. And I said, do you mind if I touch them? I'd like to get my hands on them. And she goes, I guess. I mean, it's a time of COVID, you know?
Yeah, we're supposed to be keeping a little bit of distance.
But I was like, and then I decided, like, everybody I meet on my journey into the tube, I'm going to compliment. So
that
woman checking me in.
Wonderful strategy.
Yeah. So the woman checking me in, I go, I got to tell you, I love what you're doing with your eyes. And she said, well, you know, these are false eyelashes. I said, now, do you put those on every day? And she said, I do. I'm so used to it. I said, well, they're absolutely stunning. I said, you're bringing me so much glamour here at Mark Taper Imaging, and I appreciate it. And then I went in and I touched that girl's extensions, which I don't know if that was a little bit of an overreach. And then I had a woman who actually really pissed me off, even though I think she was trying to be nice, but she was And I know people have had, and actually I did want to, I don't want this to be, this is not a serious, I don't need to be serious today, but I actually wanted to see what you would have said, because the woman who was putting my, you know, IV in, she's like, oh, do you, I used to work on the cancer ward, right? She's like, so do you have diabetes? No. Do you have blank? No. She goes, just cancer. And I said, no, I actually don't have cancer. I'm 6 years out. And she goes, oh, hang in there. Hang in there. It's tough, isn't it? I see a lot of young people coming in. A lot of young people coming in. And, you know, and some of them do okay, you know. And I'm like, okay, now I'm having like a full-on nervous breakdown. But then she goes, did you lose your hair?
I am.
Did you lose your hair? And I said, actually, I didn't. I mean, I lost some of it. Now, my hair was all piled up here. And she goes, I did the cold caps. And she goes, oh, those, you know, those look, I remember that looks so crazy or whatever. She goes, but when it grew in really weird, right? And I said, it did. I go, but look at it now. And then I unspooled what looked like Giselle Bundchen's hair. Like, I don't know. God gave me, it wasn't even a blowout. I said, but this is what it's like now.
Ooh. I honestly think that was like the best clap back, as the kids would say. Like, it wasn't verbal. It was visual.
But June, I have a question, and I think our deep divers would really appreciate this, because I thought of you and I thought of Lennon, and I thought, what would you have said to shut it down? Because every word she said was more triggering. And I wish I had said, just quite honestly, can you please stop? Like, this is triggering me. But I didn't want to make it even, I was on my like compliment everybody, and then I wanted to stab that woman. But I don't know what I could have said in the moment, instead of eating it like I did.
Is there any way, I'm curious, if there was a world in which once she said just cancer, you could have said, I'm incredibly sensitive right now and would prefer, unless it's a serious question, to not chit-chat.
Talk. That's what I should have said. God, you know, we're being required right now, and COVID is a huge thing too, to have these awkward conversations with strangers. Can you please give me more space? Are you vaccinated? Are you, you know, all this shit. And you would think I'm more in practice, but I just want to get over this girl, I have to be nice bullshit.
I mean, I don't have to make it okay because I do think what was happening is like you wanted to give out good energy so that good energy was going to come with you in that tube, you know,
right.
They were going to like then reciprocate good energy your way. But it's very hard because once you open yourself up to that, like we as HSPs, like we are going to be really vulnerable to bad energy.
That was it. I know. And I was like, God damn it. Like June wouldn't have spoken to this stranger, really. I could have kept it locked down, although she started it. I wasn't necessarily going to go with her. You know, she didn't have anything I wanted to compliment.
Well, I mean, it sounds like there was nothing to say. It's really upset. That's really upsetting, though. I'm really upset that happened. Like, and I don't know what she was. I find that to be utterly insane.
Yeah, just an emotionally insane. Unintelligent, but most nurses, I would say 99.9% of nurses are angels that walk amongst us. So, but it's not, of course, this is a strata of people. You're going to have emotionally intelligent people, and you're going to have, you know, she wasn't trying to be mean. She really thought she was like broing out with me about cancer, but it was just truly wild. But anyway. But then
people are wild.
They are wild. And I wasn't high enough for that. But then when I got in the tube, it hit me. Yeah. It hit me, the drugs.
Nice.
And then I was like, all right. Okay.
Now, how long were you in the tube for?
Because of all the drugs I had taken, I don't know.
Oh, great.
It wasn't fun in there. I had a mask on and I was face down. No, none of that happened. And it wasn't fun in there. But I cannot say that I was not panicking. I was out of my body. I really was.
And may I ask, was it a Xanax? Was it a Klonopin?
I took an Ativan. And then I spent a tremendously long time after the fact. They were like, so you can get dressed and come on and go on out to the lobby. And I just sat down on that bench and just sort of, you know, took some me time in that changing room, which is so weird. So then Dan was like panicking, like, where are you? Like, you said, where are you? And I was just like, I was just getting dressed. He's like, for 35 minutes? Like, I don't know what I was up to in there.
I understand.
But when the nurse came back, she was shocked to find me there still. She was shocked to find me there.
So anyway, interesting. That was that. But thank you. Get the hell out of there.
You know, So I can't say enough about being high during these procedures. And I want to thank again the deep divers.
God,
I mean, there was about 1 billion messages. 1 billion messages.
And I want to thank the deep divers, and also I want to reprimand them because it will always haunt
me. You already did.
I know, but I don't want to let this moment go. And it's a real teaching moment for so many of us. And when we know better, we do better. And like, why only one of you all, and I include myself in that, suggested like thoughts and prayers, thinking of you, putting you in my cow, like that's great. But how about some fucking narcotics? Like,
yeah, yeah.
What?
No, that but was this really, is our new life.
I want to make sure. I know. But I don't want to blow past it.
Some lessons
we have to come back to and really like, you know, really let sink in. Because that was a misstep, you know? Yeah. It was a misstep. It was embarrassing.
You know, it's not like we said to ourselves, like, we need to go through college always sober. You know, it's like, no, like,
or we're like not, there give birth to a child without drugs. Like, there's like, what, why?
Make why? Life easier. Yeah. So anyway, moving on.org.
Well, I'm so glad, Jess, and I was thinking of you. I'm so glad you were high as a kite.
Yeah. Yeah. I had no memory of texting you this morning. Couldn't find my keys to drive BB to school. I was like, well, this is the downside of doing drugs is you don't necessarily have your shit together. Like, it was like train spotting. Dan and I are like picking up laundry. Like, where is it? You know, so but she got there. God damn it. Did she get there on time?
Listen, no. I don't know if I told you this, Jess, but I had an experience with, and again, I feel like we're telling the same stories over and over, and I'm not actually going to apologize for that, but I had an experience with someone I'm very close to. I will leave out her name, but a dear, dear person in my life, where I went with her. She had an abnormal mammogram, had to go get it checked out. And I went to the imaging place for the second. It's like, okay, we're going to get it checked out again.
Oh, God.
And I went with her. And the technician, when we were sitting in there, who was looking at the pictures, didn't say a word. This is pre-COVID, so I could also see her face. And I know this is an audio medium, but she was like, ugh.
Oh.
Ooh.
Oh, no.
No, Jess, okay. And I'm like, sitting there and I'm just like, well, that's it. You know, I went into a full body sweat and I was like, she was looking over things and all I'm seeing on these pictures is like cancer, cancer, more cancer, all the cancer, every bit cancer, cancer, cancer. And then this went on for like 5 full minutes. And then the doctor came in and was like, your AIDS are good to go. Get on out of here. Everything's fine. Pictures look great. You just have like a thick breast tissue or something. And I was like, what? Yeah. And I got in the car and I just started weeping.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I cannot believe that that woman came in there and behaved like that.
But she was probably like, oh, God, I didn't position it exactly right. Or, yeah.
I don't
but
know.
And I feel like
they're, I was too scared to say like everything look okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. But because I was just like, I can't even utter the words. And please know that the person I was with was, she was either like not facing her.
Your face down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was like, this is the worst day of my life.
And, oh, yeah.
And it ended up being fine. But it was, and you know, it's such a lesson. And I'm going to take this for myself too. On how we need to be responsible for our energy.
Yeah, we sure do.
We really need to be like stewards of our own energy in the world.
Yes.
Yeah. Because people, you just, I know this is not something like crazy. You don't know where people are.
No.
Just I went to a fitting today for something I'm working on, and I was like, the most amazing experience with this costume designer who, I mean, first of all, I brought Meatball, and I do find when I'm meeting a lot of new people, I kind of need
him. Did you bring him?
I brought him.
I didn't know he was fit for the outside world, for the corporate world.
Although I would love to see him in a little tie and a little blazer.
Okay, so here's the thing. I've said this before. I don't know dog etiquette.
And a miniature cigar. That's what I want to see him. I want to see him at a poker table.
I really don't know if he is. Like, I don't know what's right and what's wrong. But yet. I have found so far that I'm like, if I don't ask permission.
Oh, honey, that's how I live my life.
I've
smuggled my schnauzer into more studios. I said, oh, she's working on a show. She's a show dog when I'm walking it. I don't give a fuck. Yeah, yeah. Oh, wow, bring Meatball whenever you can and wherever.
So I brought him, and I thought, I don't know. You know, he really gets upset when I leave, and so I'm sure you know, people are going to tell me like it's the wrong decision to feed into that. But
I don't know.
He also helps me though.
Oh,
so I brought him, and goddammit, if he doesn't create a space,
a convivial atmosphere,
and it's like. It's a way to meet people that is so, it's like everybody's kind of taken into a nice energy and we can all connect over something that's not you or me or what our positions are on the show or whatever like perceived power I have or you have or whatever it is.
Agreed.
And it's a really lovely like social elixir. So he was there and when I met this woman, for whatever, I think Meatball definitely grounds me too, but I thought there's something happening with her.
Okay.
And I won't take you through all the entire conversation we had, but let me just tell you that it ended with the two of us sitting on the ground together and her crying over the loss of her father.
Oh.
And we were with Meatball, and I think he definitely made that moment open. And she said, I'm going to be embarrassed. I'm going to start crying. And I said, it's honestly it's an honor to feel
happy.
But it was really an interesting moment of like, I felt responsible toward the energy in the room when I walked in. Now, sometimes I know I can be reckless with my energy and not feel in appropriately.
Right.
But Meatball helps me with that in terms of regulation. And I really thought, I'm so glad that we got to connect.
What a
and then I got to hear
gift
her story.
To a stranger.
I've never seen this person before
stranger.
In my life. Absolute stranger.
Well, we're all walking around much more vulnerable right now, too. Fear is kind of making us, you know, you either go like more into a shell or it just peels back a layer of armor. And so I just love the idea of, oh, wait, there's a place, La La Land. Did I tell you about that place?
No.
Oh my God. So there's this coffee shop called La La Land in Santa Monica. And when you go in, they're the happiest people working there. And they always say like, I love that top, or don't you have beautiful eyes, or how's your day going? And so you always leave there feeling great. And so my friend said, well, you know, that's what they're trained to do. That's La La Land was a company that it's, everyone works there was in the foster system. And they so the foster care system. And so they're out and working. This is sometimes their first job. And their whole thing is kindness. So they give a compliment to everybody who comes in. And God damn it, this place is like mobbed. And it's the most wonderful place to go. And I just thought, God, you know, if I could just remember that, just like your mother always asked for not one, but two pieces of gum. Mm-hmm. If we can just give a little compliment. Oh, don't you look, you know, oh, I love that scarf. You know, I try to do that as much as I can.
I think that's lovely.
It's just a nice thing to do. But know that possibly you might open the door to the wrong person. So, and that's not a reason not to do it.
Yes. And here's the interesting thing about, you know, an animal.
Yeah.
Is that. Also, I think with men, I have developed quite a hard shell.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And I'm not with straight men, straight cis men. I've developed a little bit of a hard shell that I believe is entirely appropriate. Mm-hmm. But I find that having a big dog has sort of changed my relationship to strange men, where I'm like, he brings out a lovely part of them. Mm-hmm. And also I have a nice layer of protection.
Yeah.
Which is like, he's, by the way, I don't think he would move a muscle if someone were to attack me and kill
me. Never know.
You never know. You never know. Although I did come in super late one night at like 3 a.m. and he was passed out snoring very loudly on the couch.
Yeah.
But then my sister said, well, he can smell you, that it was you even sleeping. So I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do feel like he is such an interesting both barrier, but also like invitation.
Well, yeah, I didn't have a friend in the world in LA. And then I got a dog and I felt like I had an opportunity to talk to meet strangers. People.
Find Casey it amazing.
We are going to have Casey on to talk about small talk, because ain't nobody does it like Casey and I do it.
Well, but here's the thing. I think, and I know you guys want to have that conversation on your own, but I do feel like I'm pretty good at small talk. I haven't been invited into this conversation.
Well, I don't know.
Seen me out there, though, Jess. You haven't seen me with a total stranger.
But I can't imagine.
Well, even when we were, Casey and I were away together over the holidays and we played tennis and there was a strange man who came up to take the court after us. And I'll tell you who was talking to him and really engaging me. Not Casey. So
she wasn't wasting her good stuff.
I know that in certain circumstances, I can really strike up a nice conversation. So yeah, I know you don't think of me that way, but you never really see me out there.
You're right. And listen, Casey and I text each other every couple days to say, like, you're gonna love this gem, you know, and then we transcribe a back and forth. Because it's around the holidays, it's different, you know, and
Christmas are the cups out already? Christmas is starting.
I have a new one that people could take if they'd like, and that is when you're online, let's say to do testing for your kid's school, COVID testing or something, and you get to the front or whatever, who's ever working there, and they look up. Let me look up your name. You say, oh, well, my new motto, or you can say it to a mom. My new motto is expect the worst and then be pleasantly surprised.
Jessica.
I've said that 6 times and BB's like, just so you know, wasn't funny the first time. And people are laughing because they want to be nice.
Do you think it's a joke?
I think it's like a funny comment on how hard it is. It's like, expect the worst. And people are like, oh, I hear that. You know, I hear that. Or if you're in, like, for instance, like I was in a Staples the other day and I said, as I'm checking out, it's always nice to, you know, the woman said, oh, I like this planner, you know, and I said, I will tell you what about Martha Stewart. She went to jail, made a couple friends, came out better than ever. And then the woman said, and you know that she and Snoop Dogg are actual friends. They're actual best friends. I said, I believe that. take care.
Okay, so that's a nice
interaction. Are you delivering that level of interaction? Like, I'm not talking about it's a nice weather. That's child's play.
No, I'm not.
That's for babies, okay? That's what Casey and I are delivering.
Okay, well, that's very different than, expect the, my new motto, expect the worst.
I said it six times.
That's, okay. So the Martha Stewart example, that's a good one. And that's a standard. That is a standard to reach. I'm just not delivering that level of
interaction. You got to make it quick. You got to make a connection quick.
And you get out.
Get out. Have a little bon mot on the way out.
Take care. Have a good one.
Exactly. But anyway.
Wow. Well, Cody is chiming in the chat to say, before I knew June, I remember all of our passing interactions were lovely. So
what about me, Cody? Who did you find more charming and warm?
Well, charming and warm, the answer is going to be you. I don't make any mistake about that. I just want to say, I think that the energy.
Well, it's different, she wrote. Well, it's different.
It's different. Okay. And the energy that. Listen, a lot of people think I'm very cold ice queen persona, and I don't mind that.
I know you would, and neither does Lennon, by the way. Lennon doesn't mind that people don't know exactly what she's thinking.
Because that makes you extremely uncomfortable. What I love, actually, is that that's a nice, because I do really resist the expectation that women need to be so friendly and we need to smile and we should, it's assumed that we're friendly.
Well, that's what I was just saying. That's what got me in trouble yesterday with that woman.
Absolutely. And sometimes it can cost us our lives. So I really, So I really am quite comfortable not being friendly. Now, I think that what people appreciate about me is that when they get to know me, they do know that I'm actually quite friendly and I love people and I'm a very nice person. But I don't care to lead with that. No. That said, you find me in the right moment. That small talk, while it may not be Martha Stewart, gold
standard,
gold standard, it's going to be something.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
You know,
listen, it's not like I'm saying you're bad at it. It's just when you try to put yourself with Casey and I on that level, it's hard to say. And we were deprived of it during COVID, and it made us feel so horrible. Like, where were our people, the interactions? No one can, and it still hurts me.
I understand.
Because I can't hear all the time.
I know, it's hard with the masks,
but I will say,
on vacation, I'm much more willing to
throw. Oh, yes. I know you love to go to a hot tub and you like to mix it up.
Yeah, just see what's happening.
Why are we here?
Yeah, why? What's going on? Who are you here with? You've been here before? What do you think of the hotel? Right. All that stuff. All that stuff feels pretty safe. I know. Yeah, for me too. Glad there's masks inside. Everybody's wearing a mask. You know, all that stuff.
Sure. And I do a lot of you should see what London's like. You know, that was an interesting layer. I think I'm a little off my game because small talk. In London, it was a little different. You know, my American ways were a little too much for them.
I can only imagine. Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't always welcomed.
Yes.
So I'm getting back in shape.
Yes. You know, it's a muscle.
It absolutely
is. It's a muscle.
Oh, P.S. What's, Heidi Rose. What's that? Okay. So Heidi Rose heard the last thing and then she was like, texted me, how are you doing? And I wrote back, you know, I'm okay. Can you just take a little peek at the stars? This was at 7:30 p.m. She immediately leaves me a 45-minute voicemail about the snapshot of the year. And it's looking great.
Wonderful.
What she said was that something's happening. I get all the planets wrong, but I'm completing a 12-year cycle.
Mm.
And so much of behavior, of old behavior. And so what she sees is growing pains, but nothing bad. But I'm shedding a 12-year cycle away, is going away. And I really think it's what I was talking about, which is the ease, which is the stop, the no more struggle. No more struggle. And she said,
I love this.
And she said, and something also about Taurus is about tending the garden or something. But she said, and for this experience, she said, you know, because of this big change that's happening in the shedding of that old skin, she said, you are going to hopefully open the door and there's a new person there. It's going to open and greet this news in a different way, in this experience in a different way. So I thought that was I felt really excited by that.
I think that's wonderful, Jess.
Yeah. And she said, whatever you're working on right now creatively, I see that coming to fruition and being a really fun thing for the summer.
So I was like, love my favorite thing about getting like work forecasts is when you know they're coming, but they're a little bit far away.
Yeah, you don't know what it is. I'm like, okay, so the work I'm doing in my pajamas without my bra on might yield something fun.
I might be in hair and makeup.
Yeah. But not till May.
Well, I always say to Paul, like the best part of a job, if a like creating something, is when you get the, like you get the actual job.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That moment of like, I've got it, but it's not today.
You're right. Just knowing you have it. You can say things like, well, in May I'll be shooting this.
It's a little bit away. That is the sweetest spot.
Going to the job is horrendous.
Oh, terrible.
And I started to say that to Bibi, too, about the first day of school, because she was like, oh, I'm dreading it. And I'm like, yes, you should. Consider, she gets to school. They're like, your teacher's out. I'm like, and I just like grabbed her face and I was like, it's going to be a wild ride, sweetie. You ain't going to know where the bathroom is. You're not going to know what the rules are. You're going to be in a different class. Just hold on. And she came home, had a terrible first day. But I said to her, you have to have a terrible first day. The next day is going to be better. I promise. And it was. Yeah. I mean, still, it's not great. They're shoved in masks. And I don't expect any of them to be having great days at school. And that is a real fucking bummer. But that is just what's happening.
I know we've touched down on it before, but really what we are doing in terms of parenting in this pandemic and trying to keep our kids positive and their mental health intact.
I hate it, June. I really hate it.
It's a lot. It's a lot. But then I'm also like, you know, this generation, like, I guess I'm was so inspired by our conversation with Michelle Kenny and Deep Divers. If you haven't listened to last week's episode, go back and listen to it. I'm also like, what kind of resilience and like fortitude and sort of, I don't know. I'm also really inspired by these kids and how they are just accepting, radically accepting their circumstances and moving forward. And it's not easy.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, really curious what they're going to create. And
And Michelle keeps saying to me in our one-on-one sessions, because I was like so worried. I'm like, oh God, Bibi's going back to school. And I know it's going to be really hard for her to have a mask on again. That's the least of it, right? But she has to have a mask on again. And she thought she was done with those. And she just kept saying, struggle is good, Jessica. Struggle is good. And I'm like, how? Why would you say that about a child, that struggle is good? She's like, struggle and then helping people through struggle, that is where connection is. And so I do feel like this generation of kids might end up being so much more connected to their parents because we are helping them through this struggle. And I think the majority of us, I would say almost all of us, are doing an amazing job at letting them have their feelings about it. This is really hard. You know,
one of my girlfriends, her wife is a wonderful mother and professor and deeply feeling and sensitive. And they have a teenage daughter together. And she said in the beginning of the pandemic, daughters in high school, like what a difficult time. All the deep divers who have kids in high school and who miss their problems,
that is
all that stuff. Like,
it the most
fucking kills me. It will always kill
me.
But she started doing this thing where she would write on signs and put them up at the beginning of the pandemic. Now we're in a different phase, but that simply said, like, this is hard.
Wow.
You're doing a hard thing.
Oh,
you know, and it was just like, oh yeah. For our age, Jess, I think it's so different because they didn't really know, which, I mean, not that there haven't been major repercussions, but for the older kids who really understood, like, life just changed forever.
And we don't get this time back. That's the other thing. You never get this time back. You don't get a junior year back. You don't get a senior year back.
You don't get your prom. You don't get your graduation. You'll never, you don't get your first year of college. Like, oh my God, sickening to me. You know, but
the only other thing I think I've already noticed with BB is that if we had kids, now you remember back before the pandemic, we were go, go, go. Okay, we got this. We got to get this birthday party done so we can get to taekwondo practice, so we can go to the beach, yeah, so we can go back to this. And now we have maybe one thing a day, maybe. And just a simple pleasure,
yeah,
of seeing, like, BB sees her best friend Clyde in the backyard. Just a simple pleasure. And BB will say, as we're driving home from school, can I pop in and say hi to Clyde? I just don't know if, I think they're going to have an appreciation for, yes, their friends.
Yes.
That I almost feel like maybe a previous generation didn't get to have because they were so overscheduled. They're not overscheduled anymore because there ain't no scheduling to be done.
It's true.
So it's possibly true. That is also, but I don't want it. I wish I could reverse it. I think everybody is feeling, has their ups and downs about this because it is really back.
It's true. With a vengeance, you know. With a vengeance. But I'm also, I have, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I think I'm a negative person, or that maybe I don't, like, come across as positive as I actually am. Like, oh, I feel
very optimistic.
Do I?
Yes. You're like the first person to be like, you're not going to die. Like, this is going to be great. No, you're the first person.
I think
you're
very optimistic, and I do
feel. You're the most.
I do feel like, and maybe it's because there's so much to be pessimistic about, but I do really feel like, I think about the climate crisis and I think about, you know, this generation and how much the pandemic is impacting them. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there is so much hope for a new way, a new generation to come in. Not that, like, our generation can't do a ton of, you know, things to change this, but I do feel optimistic about it. I do feel like we're going to get out of this and it's going to be over and we're going to learn. And yeah,
we will get out of it because, you know, I remember Dan saying, like, because we were doing genealogy, whatever. And it was like, I all these relatives died of the Spanish flu. You know, I'm like, why is this Uncle Michael living with this other family? They're like, oh, well, like, his whole family died of the Spanish flu. And then, like, he moved in with them. The Spanish flu's not still around. Or Dan said, well, the flu we get originated as the Spanish flu, you know? And now I don't know if that's true, but I'm not going to Google it.
I've never heard that before. But
he said it's a version of it. It's this, like, watered down version. So I was like,
it sounds right.
Yeah, but you're right. Maybe we're going that direction. And wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if this summer we have the fuck fest that we wanted to have two summers ago?
Listen, I have a couple things. I have a big wedding this summer, and it's not going to be a
the McConkie
wedding and event. It's not going to be a fuck fest necessarily. Although, I don't want to take that off the table.
Matt McConkie's wedding feels to me like back in the days, the turn of the century, when the Newport wedding season would happen and everybody, and it was really their debutante. Like, the wedding season is when you would really get out there and present your best self. That's what that wedding feels like to me. I'm going to read about it in the society pages. I won't be in presence. I'm excited.
First of all,
to hear
a union
about
that I've never felt such great energy around. It's just like, it's a union that has universal buy-in.
Sure.
You know, with the vaccines.
It's like when the Rockefellers, married. Never.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's like, exactly. We are all on board for this and surrounding it, you know, with the best energy. So it's just, It does feel like it's going to levitate, like, where people are bringing the outfit discussions. There's a Pinterest board that Club Elizac put together. Yeah.
could I be invited to it, even though I'm not coming to the wedding? I'd like to just see what people are putting together.
Yeah. And there is, because I was trying to say to Kulav and to Casey and to our dear friend Laura, you know, some of Matt's closest girlfriends, I'm like, I don't want us to look confusing together.
I agree.
And even though we don't necessarily have like a title in the, as you know, he's not, there's no wedding party. I do want to, I don't want to look a fool in the pictures.
I understand. But there will be, I hope that you pull aside the photographer and say, we'd like a separate photo shoot.
I'd like
for
to
the
see
four
the
of
shot
us
list.
With your, yeah, with him.
I'd like to
you
get
know
my
what
eyes
mean?
On the shot list. Yeah.
Sure. And no. you do, you want to look appropriate together. You want to feel like an
a
Emily
piece.
In Paris, Patricia Fields, you know, is doing the costume design. So
and
everybody
listen, we've
looks
missed
like they're
her
in the same
and
show.
Just like that. We've missed
God,
her.
Yeah.
We've missed her. And that's the only critique that I'm willing to.
I understand. And again, I still haven't had time because I just finished binging Emily in Paris.
Okay, well, when you're ready,
so now
there's a text chain I'd like to invite you to.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are several people I'm like about to like pull off of it because they've violated community guidelines as far as I'm concerned.
You set those out there? You set those out and said, I'm not.
I just said, like, this is not a safe space.
No.
Okay? This is, if you are coming here with the wrong energy, you're going to be asked to leave. This is not a space where it's like all thoughts are welcome. Characters are not welcome here.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
So let's be, if I don't feel you're coming to that text thread with love.
Yeah.
With kindness.
Yeah. Then you're going to be asked. For, you're going to, the moderator will ask you to leave.
Then you will be asked to leave. You know,
well, I'm really looking forward to it. But again, if I got another plug for Emily in Paris, it's just a delight.
Okay.
Delight.
I can't wait to see it. But to go back to our outfits, meatballs trying to get in here. To go back to our outfits and dresses, like I want us to look like on the Real Housewives reunion specials, they're all in different dresses, obviously.
Right.
But they're in a palette that makes sense together.
That makes sense. And it has to reflect the palette of the wedding. I don't know what the palette is. You know, is it neutral?
Listen, it has to
reflect the natural surroundings of California.
But also take a risk.
You're asking a lot.
I know.
And reflect each of your individual personalities. That's a lot.
And it has to be, there's so many requirements. It has to be a little bit, it cannot be like heterosexual. It has to be like kind of homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
there's just a lot of needs and requirements from what I want us to give. And I haven't landed on the dress yet.
Well, no. And listen, you don't pull the trigger on anything that doesn't feel perfect. And you have a lot of time. It's in May, right? So you've got time.
Yeah, but, you know, not too much.
I know.
Because I do feel like some people are like sleeping on it a little bit. Like, not too much time.
Yeah. And I really do. I want us to fix in our mind that I believe summer, let's really put our minds to May. I know now is a kind of hard time to manage. And I want us to know that by May, April, end of April, May, we're really going to be in a good spot.
Absolutely.
By the way, I think my puppy might be coming.
Tell me more.
Might
I can't
be
believe you're getting a puppy,
1st.
Jess.
Tell it might me be more. March 1st. It might be in May. Pawtastic Doodles. You need to be following this woman who is so special. As I told you, she and I have a divine connection. And I said to her, you pick the puppy. I believe my best friend, Kelly, dead best friend, has sent me her because, you know, she had the same cancer that Kelly had,
that's
but
right.
She survived, which was crazy. She just told me her dog detected her leukemia. Her
Whoa.
Dog would not leave her side, was like,
whoa,
couldn't. And her husband was like, what's going on? She went to the doctor and that's why she was able to survive. So then she said, I will devote my life to dogs after that. But so I just,
oh,
I mean, we had the most emotional DM exchange the other night where I was crying and Dan said, who are you texting? And I said, the dog lady. And she said, I just walked out of the room like, I don't know what to do with that. But
But I said, you pick the dog. I'm not telling you what dog to send me. You pick it.
And this dog just arrives in like a FedEx box? Or when you say send me, like where, what's that?
Somebody, a dog nanny comes and brings it. And maybe it's, you know, and whenever it's meant to be here, it will.
Wow.
But I'm okay. So excited.
I mean. Okay, so a puppy golden doodle?
No. Cavapoo. Okay. Cavalier King Charles Spaniel mixed with a poodle. Again, again, I would be rescuing, but I cannot because BB is starting today her twice a week shots for her severe dog allergy.
You know,
it's no joke, she can't breathe.
Oh, I was a child. I only had once a week shots, but I was that child who had a shot every single week.
She's really pissed about it. It's horrible. Not the first one today is, and then we have to wait there for a half an hour.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Oh God, she's going to have a nervous breakdown about
absolutely
it.
Absolutely horrible. That's really exciting.
I know.
Jess.
But please go to Pawtastic Doodles because the woman, she posts these videos every day and she obviously is obsessed with dogs and loves them. And it was a little dog, Tiny Tim, who was born with a cleft palate and couldn't eat and she didn't give up on it. And I just, everything about this whole organization is so beautiful. So if anyone else has severe allergies or is thinking about it, please call Julie. She's just everything. And yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy that I've given over my choice of a dog to somebody I've never met, but it's divine. It's divinely guided.
Seems like it.
It is.
It is.
Just is. So puppies just and is. Summer and weddings, that's what's coming for us. I want everyone to keep that and fix that in their minds. You know, I know it feels like we're being dragged back, but we're not.
Yeah, we're not. We have vaccines. We're going to have actual drugs that treat COVID. We are not. And of course, like, let's just all get vaccinated. I will say, like, this third, you know, it's scary and it's upsetting and it's, you know, but I having the kids vaccinated now.
And my heart and for those under five. No. The ones who've under five, they got it. I know Pfizer didn't happen with it and they have to push it. My heart goes out to all of the parents of under five. It is so scary, and you will get there. We will get there. But that is the other reason that if you're not getting vaccinated, I saw a guy, almost fought a man in a Walgreens because I'm standing there waiting for my thing. And I don't know why they had to ask, but they said, are you vaccinated? And this gentleman was 29 years old. He goes, nope.
Fuck you, dude.
And now maybe he had some sort of disorder that meant he couldn't, but okay. I had to literally hold myself back because I wanted to physically fight him.
I get it.
Yes. So
I get it.
But I do feel like this latest surge hopefully is pushing people to get vaccinated who haven't been. And I think that is happening. I do think more and more people are like, yeah, you know what? I better do it.
Well, it's also like we've been how far out now with vaccines and like, obviously they're safe. And obviously like we're all doing fine and our kids are doing fine having been vaccinated. So if that was the concern, you know, even though it's out of our system, like very quickly after we get the shot, if that was the concern, like I would hope for the people who are like, oh, I'm just going to wait a little bit. That those fears have been, you know, allayed a bit as time has gone on. I don't know. I find it confounding, but I do really appreciate that our kids are vaxxed. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. That's right. Thank you, science.
Thank you, science. Well, Jess, what a strange episode this was.
I don't
know
what we spoke about, really, but
I don't know. Is there anything? I mean, I actually had an interesting question I wanted to ask you.
What was it? I'll think about it for next time.
Okay. Do you have any contact with any exes?
That's a wrap. And cut. And cut.
Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go dive in deep. Let's go on the deep dive. No secrets will we keep. It's June and Jessica. Going deep, how deep can you go? Oh, really deep. Let's go on. deep dive. Let's go dive in deep.
The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free one-month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support this show is to rate and review.
And a huge thank you to Ann Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnnGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more.
We'll see you next time.